And welcome back. The Latino community in our region is a vibrant one. For more than 30 years, the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce has been supporting and promoting Hispanic-owned small businesses. In 2009, the Chamber established a charitable arm, the HCCSTL Foundation, which focuses on youth, workforce development, and education. The Chamber's Leadership Institute is a skills-based leadership training program for young Hispanic professionals. With me to talk about the Chamber's work and its impact on our region are Lydia Padilla, a businesswoman and operates the TRC Staffing Services here. She's Foundation Board President with the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce of Metropolitan St. Louis. Antonio Lozano is Managing Supervisor at Ameren and a recent graduate of the Chamber's Leadership Institute. I want to thank you both so much for being with us.
Thank you for having us.
I think it might come as a little bit of a surprise to some that the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce is here and been here for so long, Lydia.
31 years, I believe, is the number, and it was part of the impetus for starting the National Hispanic Chamber of Commerce in Washington, D.C., so we have a long, deep history rooted in the St. Louis region.
What is the Hispanic population in our area?
It's about, I believe, 4%. From the last census data, I don't know the exact number, so I don't want to misquote. I don't remember exactly, but we're definitely in a growth mode in the region. Not as fast as we'd like to be, but...
And putting a lot of emphasis on business and entrepreneurship, from what I understand.
Yes. Yeah. And creating partnerships between large business and small business.
And how is that going?
Fantastic. There's over 200 members, I believe, that are members of the Hispanic Chamber, large, small, medium size, and making the connections for the two to work together and finding opportunities for them to do business together is critical and valuable and important and provides a lot of great vendors for large companies in the area that are looking to diversify their partnerships as well.
I understand you've just had a graduating class from your Leadership Institute. What exactly is that Leadership Institute?
The Institute we started, this is our second class that graduated. There were 17 members in it. And we were looking for a legacy program that could help facilitate relationships, partnerships, networking through the up-and-coming leaders in the Hispanic community. So Antonio here was one of the recent graduates and with Ameren, and he has his story about how he got involved. But we wanted to create, a legacy program that would allow in 5 years to have 100 graduates from the program be able to join boards, network, work with business opportunities, help tie companies together, organizations together, not-for-profits, and that's how we started it.
I gather you feel that this community is underrepresented in those areas.
To an extent, there are not a lot of Hispanic executives in St. Louis yet. There are several that are phenomenal at Anheuser-Busch and Monsanto, and we know all the big players in town that have Latin American presence in their businesses. So helping focus and raise some of the up-and-coming leaders that are going to be taking over in the next 10 to 20 years, we think is valuable for them to kind of get out in front of the right people at the organizations to make an impact.
Well, Tony Lozano is going to be one of them, I guess, having just graduated a couple of days ago from this.
I guess we'll see.
Tell us about that experience for you. Why did you want to get into it, and what do you think you're taking away from it?
Well, you know, to start out, I actually had not even heard of the program, and a couple of my superiors at Ameren came to me. Eric Winberg and Bruce Steinke came to me and said, here's a program through the Chamber of Commerce and the Foundation and something to look into and consider applying for it. And so I had a lot of support internally and went through it, applied for it, got in, and they actually financially supported me as well. They paid for it. And so that was kind of how I got into it. And then I didn't quite know what to expect at all, but there were a wide range of individuals I met inside. It's humbling to be a part of that group because a lot of very accomplished individuals already. And a whole lot of potential in that room as well. And so we had 9 months of training and classes and exposure and experiences talking about emotional intelligence and effective communication and nonprofit and those sort of things. Mm-hmm. And it's quite valuable, as you might imagine, partly because of the people you meet, partly because of the exposure you have, but I think more so maybe just the confidence it gives you. because you have these things now. You're more comfortable in more situations.
Can you point to one single thing that you took from that experience that you really think is going to be beneficial to you in your career?
Absolutely. So the most tangible thing at this point, they talk about nonprofits and they talk about boards and positions of influence. Another individual, Alvaro Arias and myself, we are both on the board now for St. Vincent's Home for Children. And that opportunity came up through this Leadership Institute. About halfway through, they were looking to diversify their board itself and talked to Carlos, who then kind of posed it to the class and ended up, Alvaro and myself are on the board. We've already been exposed now for about 4 months and working through quite a number of things with St. Vincent's. And that's all new. That's all brand new to myself. That's all brand new to Alvaro, and it's been wonderful so far.
Lydia, not quite sure how I should pose this question, but how welcoming has this community been to the Hispanic community?
Extremely. There are a lot of partnerships already developed across the country with major corporations here in St. Louis with Hispanic community, the Hispanic Chambers of Commerce in other cities. So the vendor agreements that are able to be presented, and in St. Louis, you see a lot of requests for minority vendors partnerships. And I know Ameren is been instrumental in helping small minority businesses overcome some objectives in relation to winning RFPs and becoming subcontractors for large vendors. So the need is there. The interest is there. The partnerships have been phenomenal. I know I can't quote exactly, but Enterprise Rent-A-Car, Monsanto, Anheuser-Busch, Centene, major corporations have very deep partnerships with the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, and they're mentoring us and mentoring our members on ways to be better business people and how to grow, be sustainable, be effective. And it's, you know, all the boats rise when...
However that goes, yeah. I raise that question, and I'd like both of you to respond to this, because as we all know, during this whole immigration debate that's taking place, the Hispanic community in many cases has been singled out, and in some cases by communities, municipalities around here, for... You know, they want to pay close attention to the Hispanic community. They want to keep them at arm's length. Are you running into this? And if so, how are you dealing with it?
Absolutely. There's definitely misconceptions about what immigration is or what it means. And I think it's important to look back at what does immigration mean to America 3 or 5 generations ago. Immigration was larger 5 generations ago than it is today. And I don't want to quote Anna Croslin at the International Institute, but there's a big push in a lot of communities that aren't seeing as much immigration, look for ways to be more welcoming. The diversity of people and the diversity of knowledge and education and experience brings a lot of value to a community. And when you see growth in other cities around the country, a lot of that is through immigration growth. So there needs to be a legal, strong, smart, effective, thoughtful process for it to happen. And fortunately, the chamber has been in a situation, I'm not currently on the chamber board, the Hispanic Chamber Board, but they're in a situation to kind of help work through what those challenges are and why it's a benefit. And with the partnerships with the International Institute and, you know, with Mayor Slay, that work will hopefully get better and kind of start to diminish some of the challenges that people think stand there, when really there's major benefits for immigration to happen.
Tony, do you think those challenges are greater today than they were 5, 10 years ago?
So, you know, I guess immigration in general, I would say maybe the key point for me is when people come in, it's all about confidence. And I'm, you know, naturally going to tie it back to the program I just finished.
Sure.
But here's how I see it. I see it as Hispanic people in general, generally there's a lot of desire, there's a lot of hard work, There are a lot of opportunities, a lot of potential, but they need the confidence to be able to succeed. They need to know the opportunities are out there, and I think that's where Hispanic Chamber of Commerce and this program comes in quite a bit, is this is a way that not only we can develop as leaders and we can make impacts and be in positions, influential positions, but then we can also, you know, secondarily prove that it can be done. And for the next wave of people coming in, give them that confidence to continue on that path.
Obviously, the people with whom you work and for whom you work have a lot of confidence in you because they footed a fairly hefty bill for you to take part in this recent course. So that's a given as far as I'm concerned. But what about on a personal basis, day to day, outside the office?
A personal basis in terms of?
Of acceptance of people who treat you just like they would treat anybody
else.
Yeah,
so myself, I'm not first generation. Mm-hmm. You know, my family's been here for multiple generations, and so I have not seen a lot of that personally because I probably don't look the part and I certainly don't sound the part, I know, mm-hmm. compared to a lot of my colleagues sure. that went through the Institute with me. However, you'll see that from time to time. I just more see it on the periphery. It's not, I can speak to within Ameren. It's wonderful. We don't have that. There's ever since I've been there, the push for diversity and the push for inclusion has been strong and recognized consistently. I don't have negative experiences, and outside of there, I have very few. But I'm not naive enough to think that's the case for everybody here. We even spoke going through the Institute itself and many people in the class and issues they've faced and have not been on that side.
Yeah, but we're all reading about it. We're all hearing about it. It's really kind of something that's a part of us, part of the news every day.
Yes.
How about you, Lydia, on a personal basis?
On a personal basis, I see a lot of positive with it. As an owner of a recruiting company, I get requests all the time for people who are bilingual in Spanish at a professional level. And companies understand that it is a market that they want to do business with, and it's a market they're probably not penetrating as well as they would like to. And St. Louis does not have a giant Hispanic population. So when some major corporations are trying to find bilingual candidates, they're really using all their resources and coming to the Hispanic Chamber and myself and a couple of other members that are also recruiting companies that are members of the Chamber. They see the value in that. On the flip side, you do hear negative stories and you read about some legislative work that's being done in other states. At least in Missouri, other than maybe the English only, there haven't, and maybe a couple of communities that we've heard some terrible stories about how they treat the Hispanic communities. I don't see a lot of it. And I spend a lot of time in on Cherokee Street and in areas where the diversity down on Cherokee Street, you can barely go to any of the restaurants down there and not see people of every walk of life from all over St. Louis enjoying the food and the vibe. So there's negative things, of course. I don't know if it's St. Louis is too small to be facing some of the larger ones that we hear about nationally, but it doesn't mean that we don't consider them and we don't think that, important immigration reform should happen and things should happen so that there's some more equality and that the, Hispanic communities are very diverse. There's St. Louis is in particular not only Hispanic, but Cuban and Puerto Rican and Venezuelan. And if you look at the mix-up of our Hispanic Chamber Foundation and board, I don't even know if 50% is actually Mexican versus Latin countries combined.
Well, there was I'm sure it was encouraging to you, an encouraging ruling by the U.S. Supreme Court yesterday with regard to Arizona's voting law, which I think was a positive for the Hispanic community there, and it might certainly be reflected in other places as well. Let's get back to the business side of this. What about raising money, venture capital, going into business? A young entrepreneur wants to go into business in St. Louis. Is he going to have trouble raising money? Is he going to get it as easily as his native counterpart, if you will?
I think that's probably a better question for the banking industry and the SBA maybe. But we do have a lot of businesses in St. Louis that have been part of the 8A program. We have a couple of businesses, Pangea in particular, who is one of the largest Hispanic businesses in the country. We have Carmen Jacobs at NextGen, who she's one of the largest women-owned businesses in St. Louis and in the country. So I think there's value. I don't know what concentrated efforts have been put forth as far as, you know, angel money or startup programs like, I believe, ARC St. Louis that are specific to Hispanic businesses. But we've got some major businesses in town that are growing and expanding and interested in mentoring and finding the next opportunity that they can invest in. So it's not too far away from probably being a better concentrated effort. And again, maybe there's one that I know I don't know about specifically, but I think there's lots of opportunities. And if you look across the country, the Hispanic businesses and opportunities and growth is pretty phenomenal and pretty powerful.
The financial part of it, Tony, is a critical component, is it not?
It has to be, yes.
Yeah. One of the things I've noticed about part of the Leadership Institute curriculum has to deal with the focus on contributions made by the Hispanic community here in the past. What are some of those that people might not know about?
Contributions in the business world?
Well, I guess so. That's kind of what I'm getting at. I just saw it listed that way. I assume that what is happening here is that pointing to people, to success stories and people who have contributed that...
Most definitely. So a lot of the instructors we had are people that are... She referred to Carmen Jacobs. Carmen wasn't actually an instructor, but somebody we met as part of this program. And Martha Garcia Campin and Celia Miranda Wynn and a few others who have been here, who have had success here in various levels of business, corporate and small business. And maybe that's what you're getting at, but really what it is they're exposing us to different topics and their experiences in the corporate world, good and bad, some of the challenges they faced and how they had success and how they overcame that and the mentoring they had. And so you see it, okay, they've had this, they've had success, they've had mentoring, and now they're passing it down to us. And through this is more of a formal program to get more people involved, and then we can continue to pass that down. And both as we have success as well, we pass down the message. I think that's how you accomplish it.
Lydia, this, it seems to me, is important not only for the Hispanic community here, but for the community as a whole to have a greater understanding for the kinds of accomplishments that have been achieved.
Absolutely. And we're seeing more. Some are not as public as others, but most of the large companies in the region have affinity groups, and the Hispanic affinity groups are extremely active with golf tournaments, scholarship programs, mentoring programs. And there might not be one position to put everyone into one bucket, but there's a lot of work being done by a lot of people from a lot of different backgrounds who support these affinity programs and their programs that they're offering. The Hispanic Chamber Foundation for the leadership, the Latino Leadership Institute, I believe we gave away 6 scholarships for the 17 students that participated, and the rest of them were paid by their companies. And their support from the companies is what you see the value of and where the importance and the partnerships are really going to be, you know, long-lasting and sustainable. And having Centene support is really valuable, and that elevates the look of it and it elevates the brand, and those partnerships are what are going to continue to help us grow.
Centene is behind the Leadership Institute, is that correct?
Yes, yeah, sir. They've committed to our next class, so they'll be the title sponsor for the first 3 years of the Latino Leadership Institute.
Well, as you say, it's very, very important for these organizations to come on board because the Hispanic population is growing. It's a force out there, and politically it's a force economically. So they've got to kind of get with the program, don't they? Your biggest...
It's better to be in front of it instead of behind it.
Yeah. About a minute left. Challenges going forward. What do you think are the biggest challenges ahead for the Chamber?
For the Chamber and the Foundation both, I think diversifying income streams is always important when you're a not-for-profit, a 501c3 or a 6. growth and sustainability and continuing to be relevant and important and valuable to your members and to your partners. Those are things that I think most not-for-profits struggle with and are always looking at ways to improve. So in that aspect, we're not much different. And really continuing to find ways to drive value for our partnerships, for our large companies, medium and small companies, so that everybody can grow together. So those are things that we're still always working on, the best business practices for us to work together.
Lots to do and lots to focus on. Tony, your thoughts about the same thing, the challenges.
Yeah, I think for the individuals, it's okay now that we've had a couple classes and they're going to start on a class three. What tangible progress can be made from that? Can we start being in position, to make more influential decisions? Can we have some success to give the next wave of individuals confidence? Those sort of things. Can you build on that? Can you keep the momentum going, or do you just let it die? Is it just stay in theory, or can you actually accomplish something?
Only a few seconds left, but can we track anything from class one to the class that you've just completed here in terms of that success and growth?
I can't speak to class one specifically, but maybe progress in general is the fact that class two is twice the size. And I think that shows just the interest in the program and the support from the corporations.
That has to tell us something, right?
Mm-hmm.
Lydia Padilla, thank you so much for being with us from the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. And Tony Zano, great to see you too. Congratulations on your recent graduation.
Thank you. Nice
to have you with us on today's program.
Thank you.
Good luck with the Chamber. Tomorrow on St. Louis on the Air, we begin a series of two shows examining the burgeoning startup scene in St. Louis. Is the region poised to become a hotbed for new tech and life science companies? We'll talk about the challenges and the opportunities. Archived versions of past St. Louis on the Air programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org. St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio 90.7 KWMU. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Don Marsh.